We are in Ruth chapter 4, verses 1 through 22. I pray that God has blessed you in this study on Ruth as much as He has blessed me, and that what you've been able to glean and where God has shed light on this book, that you will go back in your own time and that He will just continue to add to, and that His revelation of who His Son is and what He has done for us just become even greater revelation to you, to your heart and to your spirit, to your understanding, that it's something that you are able to grab hold to carry you through this life, to know the great price that was paid, but the one who was willing to pay the price that we might be redeemed and be a part of the family of God. Ruth chapter 4, verses 1 through 22. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Come aside, friend, sit down here." So he came aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the close relative, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech, and I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance." And the close relative said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm anything, one man took off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was a confirmation in Israel. Therefore the close relative said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself." So he took off his sandal, and Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Malon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Malon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are witnesses this day." And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel. And may you prosper in Ephrath and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went in to her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative. And may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi." And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nashon. And Nashon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz. And Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David, we know, is King David. So chapter 3 ends with Ruth and Naomi sitting still, waiting on the kinsman redeemer to settle the matter, knowing he will not rest until he has secured Ruth as his wife. What did Boaz need to do at the gate of the city? Remember, good students of God's word, that is where business deals were completed and judgments of justice were handled. if there were disagreements in among the people, they would come to the elders at the city gate, and they would hear them, and then the decisions would be made. The elders of the city would gather, hear the request, make rulings, and also to be a witness of mutual agreements, transferring of property, etc. Let's read Ruth chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 again. I'm sorry. Let's read Ruth chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. Now, it is true that I am a close relative. This is Boaz responding to Ruth's request. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning. So there is a relative closer than I. And Boaz is saying, if he does not want to do it, I will do it as the Lord lives. Remember, we have spoken of types and shadows in this glorious book of redemption. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament reveal. Ruth went to the threshing floor looking for a future and hope in her kinsmen. She received a promise and a pledge. As we go through this, fix your eyes on our kinsman redeemer. We are not taking scripture out of context here. We are seeing the shadow of what was to be the future and hope of the world, the true kinsman redeemer. And that is Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth. Boaz is a type and shadow, but he falls short. He could only help Ruth. Jesus can save all who will ask. He is our nearest kinsman redeemer. We look back on his work. Ruth is looking forward to his work. Let's take a look at what Boaz's statement about one closer than himself. What is this saying to us? Is there one who is closer that, and closer means has first right? That's what it means, that this kinsman that Boaz is speaking of has first right before him. And so is there one who has a prior right to our lives before Jesus? Well, the law of God. The law of God comes first. And so the law of God has the right over man to condemn him. If you want to understand this in better context, I would suggest that you take the time and you go back and you read in the book of Romans where it talks about the law, and go to Galatians where it talks about the law. Boaz knew the law of God, and there was one who had priority over his desire to take Ruth and to redeem all. Boaz lived under the law, and that is why he had to go to the city gate. He needed witnesses. If the law could now redeem, he was ready. If the law could not redeem, he was ready. The one who had priority before Boaz, he had all that was needed to redeem. Close of kin, able to pay the price, but greatest of all, he was willing. Listen, the law was not able to redeem us. The law has been our tutor. It has revealed our sin and the greatness of our sin. We were not able to keep the law. But Jesus comes and he says, but I can. I can redeem them. I'm close of kin to mankind. And I am able to pay the price of what the law requires. But most of all, I'm willing. And so I'll just say his name, Jesus. The law of God sets before us things to do that we may live. Do this and you will live. If we keep the law to the letter, we shall have eternal life. But if we break one letter of the law, we are condemned to death and separation. No one has ever kept the law but one, Jesus. He went to the city of gate in front of witnesses and fulfilled the law. The law of sin and death could not hold him in the grave because he was sinless himself. To condemn is all the law can do. That's all it can do. The law is firm and cannot be moved. It cannot be changed. God's law does not change. That's why we have the law of the kinsman redeemer. It is a law, and Jesus fulfilled the law. Under the law, the burden is on us. But under grace, God makes himself responsible to put into us what he wants out of us. In other words, he tells us, you can't do anything without me. When we get saved, there are so many times I'm trying to do this. Jesus said, I've done it. I have redeemed you. I have brought you into my family. Stop trying. Ask for my help and let me do this. Let me do this through you. So what we do is we keep trying to go back to the law when we have been redeemed by the one who was close of kin, able to pay the price, but greatest of all was willing to pay the price, Jesus. This means that the law cannot redeem those who have failed to keep it. Jesus cannot be our redeemer until he has first settled things with the law. Do you understand? Boaz could not redeem Ruth until he went to the city gate, he met with the elders, and the one who had first priority over Ruth and all of this could not do it. The law cannot save, but Jesus can, and he will. No one has ever kept the law but Jesus. If Jesus is going to redeem, he must first satisfy the law of God. And that's what he came to do. We don't always realize that him dying for us was him satisfying the law of God, as Boaz has to satisfy the law of God before he could redeem Ruth. The supreme thing Jesus did was to rob sin of its power to condemn us. He did it by bearing the curse attached to the broken law himself, thus exhausting it. The first person to whom sin lost its power to condemn was Jesus. He died to sin once for all. Ruth asked Boaz to redeem her. I ask Jesus to redeem me. All who desire redemption only need ask Jesus. There is no other redemption for mankind. For all have sinned and fallen short. Thus we need a redeemer. He died to sin's power to condemn him any longer. For the multitude of sins he took upon him. The moment his blood was shed, the moment he said, it is finished, Satan and the law could not hold him any longer because the price had been paid. The law demanded innocent blood shed for the guilty. He took our sins upon him, but once his blood was poured out, there was no sin there. And it paid the price. His blood that was shed, it was so valuable in the economy of God that it stretches back since Adam and Eve, and it stretches through time all the way until the very last person will come in. That was the price, and only he was able to pay that. Your blood could not do that, nor could mine. My own blood cannot even redeem myself. Now the law has relinquished its claim on us. Just as this kinsman redeemer said, I cannot do it. Jesus can actually take the place of our nearest kinsman without challenge to his right of redemption for us. The one who had the first right of redemption could not pay the price. He refused to pay the price. He was not willing to pay the price. He was stiff and unbending. The law doesn't change, and it doesn't bend. The laws we have in our land, we are always changing them. But God's law never changes. not willing to give up what he would redeem, not willing to take on another wife. This is the kinsman. Once he realizes, he hears all of this of what Boaz is saying, and he's sitting there with the elders, and he's just thinking about the land, and he's like, oh, great. He has no thought to Naomi and how she would survive. He just wants to get that land. And he says, oh, yep, I'll buy it. I will redeem it. But when he realizes how much it's going to cost, listen, this is what it's going to cost him. He will have to take Ruth, the Moabitess, into his family. He will have to take her as a wife. He already has a wife. He already has children. He could have more than one wife. But everything, he most likely is around the age of Boaz, so he's not a young man, he's an older man. And everything, his inheritance for his children, is already mapped out, it's already planned. And that will throw a real kink into it, because once he marries Ruth, and Ruth has a child, what he just purchased will go to her child. His children already have no right of inheritance to that. Not only that, that child will also then, what he has divided among his own children, he will then have to give a portion to this child also. And not only that, then Ruth would be part of his family. She would need to be taken care of. And thus she would be bringing Naomi in, who would need to be taken care of. She was a Moabitess. That would be mixing the bloodline. He did not want that. He was not willing to give up what he already had. He was not willing to take on another wife. He was not willing to give her child the property of what he was about to buy to the dead family of Elimelech. He was not willing for that child to share in the inheritance of his property. He was not willing. The price was too high, and he would not change. The law does not change. God's law does not change. And, you know, we really should be grateful for that, because that made room for the kinsman redeemer. He said, nope, I can't do this. But Boaz says, I can, and I'm willing to take it all. The law could not save us, because we could not keep the law. It's not that the law was bad. Go back and read it for yourself. The law was good, but it revealed the depth of depravity and the lostness of our souls. And what we needed was grace, but we don't know that until we see the depth of our depravity, that there is no salvation outside of grace. And that was what Ruth needed. She needed grace to be extended towards her, because she was a Moabitess. And when it came to it, the law said she's a Moabitess. And he said, nope, don't want any part of that. But grace says, I'll take it. I can redeem it. And so we see that he's not willing. He said, I cannot redeem it. In verse 6, he says, you redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. And so in verse 7, now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging to confirm anything. One man took off his sandal and gave it to another, and that was the confirmation in Israel. And so to walk over a property in shoes meant that one had the right to possess it. But in taking off his shoe, he was saying he relinquished his right to buy that land and handed that right over to Boaz. He never walked the land. He says, here, I give you my shoe. I'm not going to go over there, because you're not going to walk with one shoe on and one shoe off. You would walk with two shoes on. And so he walked. He says, here, you take it, Boaz. I'm giving it to you. The law has no right to us. Christ has redeemed us. He says, nope, Jesus, you go ahead. Jesus said, I can pay it. I can take their sins upon me. And I can satisfy the law. Boaz was satisfying the law here. He loved the law of God. And he said, now if he wants to redeem you, Ruth, then that's good. I'm going to settle this matter for you. If the law can save you, then that is good. And we will abide by that. But if not, I will redeem you. And here is the promise. when Boaz said to them, "You are witnesses." I want to read this to you again. I want to read verses 9 through 11 to you. "And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, 'You are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Malon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of Malon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, and that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are witnesses this day.' And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, 'We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman,'" and I'm not going to read all of that. But anyway, "we are witnesses." In the Hebrew, "we are" does not appear. They just shouted one word, "Witnesses! Witnesses!" They declared themselves witnesses of a beautiful act of grace of the grace of God. We know that the scripture records to us that the prophets were witnesses, that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive forgiveness of sin. Not only the prophets bear witness, but the Father bore witness of his Son. He said, "This is my beloved Son." The disciples bore witness, and we bear witness when we see this in another person's life redeemed by Jesus. When we see a person redeemed, we say we are witnesses to this. It is truly just amazing how he says that. Remember when Ruth went to him and she said, you know, "Be my kinsman, be my Goel, spread your skirt over me for protection, for provision, take me in and provide an inheritance that Elimelech's family not be lost." And this is exactly what he said. He said, "I'm taking all that belonged to them and I'm taking Ruth to perpetuate the name of the dead." And see, the one who was closer did not want to do that. He did not have any concern for Naomi, for his relative. That was not his concern. His concern was only what would make him wealthier and leave him more for his own. But that was not Boaz. Boaz, truly, when you look at his life, and there's so little written about him and about Ruth, this is basically what we have right here. And if you read this and you sit and you ponder on it, and not vain imaginations, but you just ponder on what God's Word says about them and just the depth of what he recorded, not any extra biblical, but just what he recorded, the honor of these two people is truly a high bar set before us. They both were people of their word. They both were committed to God. Now Ruth knew that there was someone else other than Boaz, and she was willing to accept it. Even though she didn't even know that person, she knew Boaz. And Boaz longed for Ruth. He longed to have her as his wife. And what she revealed to him that night at the threshing floor caused him to long for her even more. But he was willing to submit to God's law. But God's law, this man did not want to redeem that. And so it no longer had a hold over her. And he was able to step in. Jesus satisfied the law of God. It no longer has a hold over us. Those who have put our hope and our trust in Jesus, do you understand? He has redeemed us. He has met with the law. He has satisfied the law. The law says, "I cannot redeem her. I could not keep the law of God to have eternal life." And I cried out to Jesus. And he said, "But I can. I have met with the law at the city of that the gate of the city, and it has been witnessed that I am able to redeem you. But better than that, my daughter, I am willing." And you will be brought into my family. It is amazing what God has done for Ruth. You know, he refers to her as a Moabitess. So that this man, when this man has to think about who she is, he comes to a place, he's like, nah, I don't want any part of that. And when he says that he is now going to redeem all of that, he still identifies her as that. Listen to what the people, you know, the people are shouting. They say, witnesses! And then this is what they say. This is the blessing that they pronounce upon her. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel, and may you prosper in Ephrath and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman. They do not call her a Moabitess any longer. They ask for the blessing of children, that there will be a multitude of children. You know, God built a nation with Jacob and Leah and Rachel. She is now a covenant woman, grafted in, and all that was of Moab is dead. Ruth no longer gleaned in the field. She was now the wife of the owner. She was no longer a beggar, but she truly was a princess. She will be forever named. Forever named as an ancestor of Jesus Christ, the kinsman redeemer. She came into the covenant by asking to be redeemed by the kinsman redeemer. And now she is in the lineage of the one that foreshadowed the one that was to come. The genealogy is so important at the end of this chapter. Sometimes we skip over it, but you don't need to skip over it because it's really your genealogy. It is to show that sinners are in the ancestry of Jesus Christ. If sinners are among his ancestors, there is a place for sinners among his descendants. And I can tell you that I am listed in that genealogy. In that genealogy that God is keeping, that book that he's writing up there, I am listed. My name is written there. My name. For I am a child of God. A little note about Naomi as we close out this incredible chapter. There's so much here. I can't possibly teach it all. We're surfing across the top. But I did not want to close this out without mentioning Naomi. Under the gracious law of the Goel, the child born to Boaz and Ruth, Obed, is accounted as Naomi's own grandchild, and he was to inherit her son's land. Her joy knew no bounds. She would never need to fear for her future. Every time she would see the face of this child, she would see her fortune restored. She was not bitter, but she was pleasant. The book of Ruth gives us revelation of God's salvation and what it means to secure the services of our Redeemer. By nature, we do not belong. We are strangers to God and to the promises of His covenant. We have no rights, no lot, no inheritance. It is because of our poverty and bankruptcy and our need that we require the work of a Redeemer. There can be no salvation unless there is redemption. And that comes through Jesus Christ. This book shows us the entire theology of redemption. It gives us the law, and then we have the law that is given back in Deuteronomy. And then we see that law where it is walked out here and how it has to be fulfilled. This painting of the reality that's going to come in the New Testament when Jesus comes. Amen and amen.